is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Late in the day, the headlines from Israel and from the Middle East. Israel won't reopen Rafah crossing, will limit aid to press Hamas for release of 24 slain hostages. Then, IDF says Red Cross has collected 4 caskets from Hamas, apparently with hostage bodies. This is Jerusalem reporting. And then this, Hamas said to kill over 30 Gazans, publicly execute 7 as it reasserts its grip on Strip. There's also a headline, I do not have it in front of me, saying Israel opened fire on men crossing a red line somewhere near Gaza City. What we're looking at is the ragged end of war fighting, not the peace in our time that can be expected. I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, the author of the new book, Noble State, to address what we know so far in the non-transparent Gaza conflict after the event at Sharm el-Sheikh, the resort in Egypt, gathering the Arab leaders, the Islamic leaders, Turkey and Indonesia were present, the European leaders, certainly. The most notable exceptions gathering around President Trump, congratulating him. Exceptions who were not there was Mr. Netanyahu of Jerusalem and any representative from Tehran. Gregory, a very good evening to you. Right now, there is spotty reporting of the caskets coming back, of executions in Gaza. If I understand correctly, though there was talk of disarming Hamas, it is not disarmed, nor is there a plan we know about at this point. Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Well, you're correct. There is no movement underway to disarm the remnants of Hamas. And at the Sharm el-Sheikh peace treaty signing, the two combatants were not there. That's the Israeli government and the Prime Minister Netanyahu and Hamas. So here you have this great celebration and triumphalism, and yet the two combatants to the actual war were not there. Hamas was a proxy in the war. It was a proxy not of Iran, but in fact of Turkey. Turkey is a Muslim Brotherhood government. Hamas is a Muslim Brotherhood organization, and it's been headquartered in Turkey and supported by Turkey. Yes, Iran had a role for some years financing Hamas or giving it arms and money, but the reality is that Iran wasn't participating because Iran has long been out of, or for some months been out of that whole conflict, and Iran actually is contemplating its own path forward, and that could be well and truly away from Hamas and other such bodies, because it has to now decide bigger things, whether it remains aligned with Russia or whether it starts to move back to its earlier alignment, which was with the United States during the Nixon administration in particular. We did a piece yesterday, October the 13th, which said peace in the Middle East, not if Turkey has its way. We saw even before President Erdogan's flight landed at Sharm el-Sheikh, that he had circled the airport in his aircraft and got on the phone with the president of Egypt, General Sisi, and said, we will not attend this summit if Netanyahu arrives. So Netanyahu then pulled back and said, well, he wouldn't attend. But the reality was you could see that Turkey absolutely has not finished trying to win this war against Israel. So the war continues. And in fact, Turkey under Erdogan cannot afford not to continue this war. If it does discontinue its big campaign of offensive operations, its neo-Ottomanist approach to regaining influence over the entire Levant and Eastern Mediterranean, then Erdogan is finished. So the war continues. It's going to get rough. As you point out, the Hamas is actually reasserting its control over certain parts of Gaza, which was totally contrary to the peace plan, which insists on Hamas disappearing and dissipating, and that the whole of the Gaza region comes under the control of this new international board of control.
Let's look at who attended the Sharm el-Sheikh celebration. I want to start with the Europeans because I have news from there. They're greatly relieved. Why? I'm talking about Germany, France, Paris, London, because this means there will be, at least momentarily, an abatement of the demonstrations that were shaking the foundations of their understanding of governance and accommodating their Islamic residents, either in Berlin or in Paris or in London. Do you believe that the demonstrations will now cease, or will they continue in a new direction, Gregory? The demonstrations that frighten the governments.
No, I don't think they'll abate. They may abate or modify themselves for a few days until they get reorganized. But Erdogan, who's the primary sponsor of these groups, is determined to keep them moving. And he'll be talking to his Western friends who are financing this to keep that momentum up. So I think not only will we see a continuation of in different forms and maybe with more or less effect in certain countries around the world, but we will see a resumption of these because, as far as Erdogan's concerned, he cannot afford to give the impression that Israel and therefore has won the war. So that means that Erdogan is going to be indirectly confronting President Trump once again, even though President Trump praised Erdogan at the gathering. And in fact, because of the new U.S. ambassador to Turkey, we now see that the U.S., following the advice of Ambassador Thomas Barrack, is basically giving hope to Turkey that it will get F-35s and new F-16s and the like from the U.S. and will be able to continue its expansionist operations in the region, possibly getting more aggressive against Cyprus and Greece as well, and also against the EU. So it's really not a healthy situation. The Turkish movement, which is far wider than Hamas itself, is underway still and will get more intense as the months go by.
Let's go to the Arab leadership that was at the celebration of Sharm el-Sheikh, led by Riyadh, that's Mohammed bin Salman, and Doha, that's of the al-Thani family and their very wealthy colleagues. Qatar and Saudi Arabia look to be committed to the deal so far. However, again, Doha is associated with Al Jazeera, associated with the turmoil that we've witnessed these last years. MBS is an unknown to me. What is MBS's support for this deal? Is it positive for him? Does he do something now?
Yes, MBS is very positive about this because he wants to see this new regional economic bloc evolve, which would be very beneficial to Saudi Arabia as well as to Israel and others. But MBS, of course, wasn't present at the event himself, as far as I understand, largely because he has his problems with not only with Egypt, but also particularly with Qatar. We saw the Emir of Qatar there because he really actually had direct links with Hamas. But a lot of these people don't get on with each other. And it's particularly the case that MBS does not get on with the Qatari emir, nor at the moment with the president of Egypt. So they're all sort of slightly tentative about this, and all of them are very cautious about Turkey. Even Qatar, which had literally funded Erdogan in Turkey, has been backing off and is now working more closely with the United States. It's even building a Qatari Air Force training base in the United States. It's really going all in with the United States now. So Turkey is getting isolated very, very quietly, and this is not good for it as it reaches the destruction of its economy. The economy in Turkey is a disaster. The exchange rate of the Turkish lira is the worst it's ever been in modern history, for example. The standard of living has dropped precipitously in Turkey. So Erdogan is really trying to bolster his image as a winner at the moment, and he will begin clamping down even more sternly on the Turkish population in the coming months as well.
I'm speaking to Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're looking at what we know so far. It's fog of war, fog of diplomacy now about the Gaza fighting. But as Gregory makes clear, Gaza was never the war. Gaza was one of the attack mechanisms, battlefronts, and there were different sponsors. The other sponsor to speak of is Iran when we come back. I'm John Batchelor.